So, meeting from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Text Number 1, beginning with Prabhupada's summary. In this chapter, the Brahmana Jad Bharat instructs Maharaj Rahugana in detail. He tells the king, "You are not very experienced, yet you pose yourself as a learned person because you are very proud of your knowledge. Actually, a person who is on the transcendental platform does not care for social behavior that sacrifices spiritual advancement. Social behavior comes within the jurisdiction of karma khand, material benefit. No one can spiritually advance by such activities. The conditioned soul is always overpowered by the modes of material nature, and consequently, he is simply concerned with material benefits and auspicious and inauspicious material things. In other words, the mind, which is the leader of all the senses, is absorbed in material activities life after life. Thus, he continually gets different types of bodies and suffers miserable material conditions. On the basis of mental concoction, social behavior has been formulated. If one's mind is absorbed in these activities, he certainly remains conditioned within this material world. According to different opinions, there are 11 or 12 mental activities, which can be transformed into hundreds and thousands. A person who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to all these mental concoctions, is thus governed by the material energy. The living entity who is free from mental concoction attains the platform of pure spirit soul, devoid of material contamination. There are two types of living entities, Jivatma and Paramatma, the individual soul and the supreme soul. That supreme soul, his ultimate realization is Lord Vasudev, Krishna. He enters into everyone's heart and controls the living entity in his different activities. He is therefore the supreme shelter of all living entities. One can understand the supreme soul in one's position in relation with him when one is completely freed from the unwanted association of ordinary men. In this way, one can become fit to cross the ocean of nescience. The cause of conditional life is attachment to the external energy. One has to conquer these mental concoctions. Unless one does so, he will never be freed from material anxieties. Although mental concoctions have no value, their influence is still formidable. No one should neglect to control the mind. If one does, the mind becomes so powerful that one immediately forgets his real position. Forgetting that he is an eternal servant of Krishna and that the servant of Krishna is his only business, one is doomed by material nature to serve the objects of the senses. One should kill mental concoctions by the sword of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Prabhupada is so poetic, huh? One should kill the mental concoctions by the sword of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee. So text number one. Brahmana uvacha akovida kovida vada vadim Vadasi ato nati vidam virishtaha nasurayo hi vyavaharam enam tatvavamarshena sahamananti. Brahmana uvacha Akovida kovida vada vadan. Vadasyato nati vidam varishta. Nasurayo hi vyavaharamenam. Tatva vamarshena sahamananti. Brahmana uvacha. Ako vida ko vida vada vadan. Vadas yato nati vidam barista. Nasureyo hi vyavaharamenam. Tatva mamarisena sahamananti. Brahmana uvacha. Ako vida ko vida vada vadan. Vadasyato nati vidam barista. Nasurayo hi vyavaharamenam. Tatva vamarshena sahamananti. Brahmana uvacha. The Brahmana said, Ako vidaha, without having experience, kovidavada vadan, words used by experienced persons, vadasi, You are speaking.
Atho,
therefore.
Na,
not.
Ati vidan,
of those who are very experienced.
Varishtaha,
the most important.
Na,
not.
Surayaha,
such intelligent persons.
He,
indeed.
Vyavaharam,
mundane and social behavior.
Enam,
this.
Tatva,
of the truth.
Avamarshena,
fine judgment by intelligence.
Saha,
with.
Amananti,
discuss. Translation. The Brahmana Jadbharat said, "My dear king, although you were not at all experienced, you were trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." So translation, please repeat. The Brahmana Jadbharat said, "My dear king, although you were not at all experienced, you were trying to speak like an experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant, or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Krishna similarly chastised Arjuna. Asochanan vasochastam pragyam badam shabhasase. While speaking learned words, you were lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 11. Similarly, among people in general, 99.9% try to talk like experienced advisors, but they are actually devoid of spiritual knowledge, and are therefore like inexperienced children, speaking nonsensically. Consequently, their words cannot be given any importance. One has to learn from Krishna or his devotee. If one speaks on the basis of this experience, that is, on the basis of spiritual knowledge, one's words are valuable. At the present moment, the entire world is full of foolish people. Bhagavad Gita describes these people as mudhas. They're trying to rule human society, but because they are devoid of spiritual knowledge, the entire world is in chaotic condition. To be released from these miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jadbharat, Lord Krishna, and Kapila Dev. That is the only way to solve the problems of material life. Brahmana uvacha akovida kovida varavadan vadasyato nati vidam brista nasuryo hi vyavaharamenam tatva vamarshena sahamananti. The Brahmana Jadbharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. An advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktarin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here, Jad Bharat, he begins to instruct Maharaj Rahugana. And as soon as we hear this verse, we feel like we're meeting our old friend. Just like sometimes you're walking on the street, and in the distance you see someone you haven't seen for a long time. You know how happy you feel. Oh, there's my friend. So reading this verse, immediately we remember our old friend Bhagavad Gita. We're seeing our old friend Bhagavad Gita, we feel very happy. Because Prabhupada quotes this verse from 2nd chapter, verse 11. The Sochananda Sochastvam, Pragyam Bharam Chabasasi, Gatasan Agatasamscha, Nanu Sochanti Pandita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who were wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. The Lord at once took the position of a teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is actually learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living or the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. But he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the Supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which is unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and destined to be vanquished, today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. So this is the position of actual knowledge, to understand matter and spirit and the controller of both. Here in this purport, Prabhupada says that 99.9% of the people try to talk like experienced advisors, but they're actually devoid of spiritual knowledge. So someone who's devoid of spiritual knowledge, he cannot know things as they are. So whatever mental concoctions he presents, they will be faulty. They will not bring us to the ultimate benefit. One who speaks on the authority of Scripture and whatever he's heard from sadhus and spiritual master, then his words will actually be effective in raising people's consciousness from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Jai Sri Pancha Tattva Prabhu Ki Jai Krishna Baldava Dono Bhaiya Ki Jai. Otherwise, everybody has got his opinion. But what is the value of his opinion? Just like I remember, I was sitting in the garden with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. So many devotees were there. And that time, Karandra presented that some people came yesterday to invite us to come chant at the airport to greet the new avatar of God. One 14-year-old avatar of God was coming. So Prabhupada simply laughed. He said, who has accepted him as avatar? We do not accept blindly anyone as avatar. Our Krishna is accepted by all great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. He's accepted by all the great acharyas, Ramanuja, even Shankara ultimately has said that Vasudeva is transcendental to this material platform. Ramanuja, Nimbarka, all the great acharyas, Devala, Sita, Vyasa. So who has accepted this 14-year-old avatar as God? Our position is, we accept the big guns. We accept the big guns. These foolish people, they may say that he's God. But our Krishna, he's accepted by Ramanujacharya and Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami and four Kumaras, all great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. They've all accepted Krishna as God. So this is our position. We have to hear from authorities. But people like to present themselves as authorities without actually knowing anything. They speak so many, Prabhupada said, just like children speaking so many nonsensical things. Just like we have got our friend in there in London, this with Stephen Hawking, speaking so many nonsense things, that there's no God, it all happened by chance. Or that somehow or other, he says, alright, some meteor hit the earth and brought life to the earth. But that just brings it to an, where did that meteor come from? Where did the life of the meteor come? He just speaks so much nonsense thing. How we can see this beautiful world before us and not believe there's some person behind it. As soon as we see a painting, me first question is who painted? Isn't it? As soon as we see a beautiful painting, we first question who painted. And this whole world, so many beautiful things are there, just like a most incredible thing is peacock feather. That we see Krishna always has peacock feather in his crown. And people have been trying to paint that peacock feather for thousands and thousands of years. But you see the peacock feather, he cannot be painted. Because you look one way, he's one color. You turn him a little bit this way, he's another color. And some shining is there. How will you capture that in paint? So some people are for a thousand years trying to paint peacock feather. Deliberately. And this peacock feather happened by chance. So they speak so many nonsensical things. Just like one time in Portland, we were at the university giving some program. Rivati Nandan Maharaj was there. My dear old godbrother, Rivati Nandan Maharaj, was there. And he was speaking about birth, how in this material world we suffer birth, death, disease, and old age. And at the end, when he asked for questions, one fellow stood up. He said, actually, it's just because we're foolish we experience birth, death, and old age. Because we've been programmed to think that we're going to grow old, we grow old, we become diseased because we think if we think positive, then none of these things will happen to us. Everybody, none of me, that's completely nonsense. Another boy jumped up. Why are you saying it's nonsense? It's actually, people are just fools. Actually, just because we think we're gonna die, therefore we grow old, we get diseased, we die, it's just because we think like that, because we're programmed, we're foolish, we don't understand that, you know. He was defending this boy like anything. And Maharaj smashed him completely. He got so upset he left the program. He didn't even get prasadam. And that fellow who presented this bogus philosophy, I sat down with him to take prasadam. And I said, "Do you really believe that? What you said?" He said, "No, I just wanted to see what Swami said. Would say. I just wanted to see what Swami would say. That's all." And the other person was so foolish. Everybody just writing books. They don't believe it at all. But they write the books so they can make some money and people will think that they're very learned. Just speaking all useless nonsense things. Mm-hmm. So same like Arjuna. He presented so many arguments. Why should we fight? Those people with whom we'd like to enjoy life, they'll all be killed. So how will we enjoy without them? And so many arguments he made. Krishna, all these arguments are based on the body. Krishna taught the highest truth. The highest truth is to understand that Krishna always has the best interest in everyone's life. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the well-wisher of every living being. Actually, this was one of the most successful preaching programs that there ever was. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, 640 million people died. And they all died in the presence of Krishna. They were all liberated. So from a material point of view, so many people died. But all of them, dying in the presence of the Lord, they were all immediately transferred to the spiritual world. They were all liberated. Anyone dies in presence of Lord, then he's liberated. So this is very, very effective preaching program. We're just happy if after we make some big rathiyatra or some big program, if somebody comes to the temple and says, "Oh, Prabhu, I want to join and become a devotee." We're very happy. But 640 million people got liberated. What better program is that? So Krishna, he understands everything. He always has some plan. Just like there was some Western author, he says, we're on the wrong side of the carpet. Like if you look at one side of the carpet, you just see all these ugly strings. And the other side, there's a beautiful picture. So we don't understand what is Krishna's plan. We don't understand anything. And Krishna, he knows everything. He created this whole world. He's running the whole world. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. So he knows best how it will work. So we should follow his instructions. And then we should follow the instructions of the spiritual master. We always guide our life by Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. Then we can get real knowledge and then we can speak in a knowledgeable way. Otherwise, if we're just speaking our own mental concoctions, we'll just become more and more entangled in this material existence. Because all those mental concoctions will not help us. But Krishna, he understands everything and he has some plan. Sometimes we can't understand Krishna's plan. Sometimes, just like one time, we were on Brajmandal Prakrama with Lokanath Swami Maharaj. And somehow in the old days, we used to stop in Vrindavan and then go across to to Mansarovar, then Lohavan, then Baladev. We used to stop in Vrindavan. Later they stopped that. They would go follow the actual Prikama path without stopping in Vrindavan. And then somehow that particular day was Ekadasi, that we were leaving Vrindavan. And then I realized that it's a very long walk till we get to to Lohavan. We have to cross over the Jamuna, we have to walk through the fields, we have to get to Mansarovar, and then we have to walk even further to get to Lohavan, and then past Lohavan. I knew every year where they camp out is even beyond Lohavan. And somehow they decided that they wouldn't serve any breakfast. And I thought, this is not a very good idea. So anyway, somehow or other, myself and a couple of other devotees because we were crossing over the bridge, which was right near the pontoon bridge, which was not far from Gopeshwar. So we went, got darshan of Gopeshwar, and my old friend Bharat, who has a sweet stall right next door there, we bought some para from him, because para has no grains in it. And we took it along, and we tried to catch up. On the way, we passed one village. So in Braj Pikama, we always like to beg chach. You know chach? Mata. We explained before that in Braj, we don't scrape off the cream. We take the whole milk and turn it to yogurt, and then prrr, 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 turn it into butter. What's left over is real buttermilk. This is the real buttermilk. It's one of the best things for the health. So, because it's just a leftover thing from churning the butter, nobody cares for it. Nobody even dreams of selling it. So every village we would go, we would beg for chach. I knew we were going to walk a long way, so I begged for some chach. And they had no chach that particular morning. And they were very disturbed, because if some sadhu comes and begs for something and you cannot fulfill his desire, then you feel very bad. This is when you get outside of all the commercial places like Nandagam, Barsana, Vrindavan, where everybody's just grabbing you for money, then you find the real spirit of Braj is service. So they were unable to serve. They were feeling bad. So they brought fresh yogurt. And I was saying, no. But they insisted. So we filled our bellies with nice fresh yogurt. And we were feeling very happy. So then we caught up with the Prikama party. They were sitting in a little grove of trees. And sun was just coming up. And my belly was feeling very nice. And I put my little shoulder bag under my head and was listening to Lokanath Maharaj, and the sun was coming down. It was feeling nice and warm. Belly was nice and warm. And I decided, I'm just going to stay here and sleep. I'll catch up with them later. So I slept in that place, and I got up. I was going down the path, and I asked one villager how to get to Lohavan. And he said, you go straight and don't fall into anybody's chakra. Chakra means chakra. Anybody's speculation. Just go straight, then you'll come to the railroad tracks, you cross over the railroad tracks, you come to the road, you cross over the road, and there's the road to Lohavan. So I immediately began hurrying down the path, and I came one place, you could turn right or you could go straight. And I remember he told me go straight. And everybody kept pointing for me to go right. But I remember he said, don't fall into anybody's chakra. Just go straight. So I went straight. I came over the railroad tracks. Then I came to the main road. Then I came over and I came to Lohavan. And then we passed through Lohavan. We came out to the main road on the other side. And I knew that just up the road there's a place where the devotees camp every year. And while I was walking that direction, some Gurukul boys who joined the Prikama for that day, somehow they brought their bicycle with them. So they were driving by. So, oh no, Prabhu, they changed the spot. They're staying in Lakshmi Nagar. He said, where's Lakshmi Nagar? Oh, it's about a kilometer down the road this way. So I started walking the other way. And I came to some shop and I said, where's Lakshmi Nagar? Oh, it's about a kilometer down the road this way. Because no matter what you ask in India, everybody will tell you it's just a kilometer. Todi dure, just a little ways. And no matter how far you go, they give the same, it's a kilometer. And if they really don't know, then they say furlong. And he has no idea even what is a furlong. And I don't know what is a furlong anymore. There's one furlong. So by this time I was getting very hungry and very disappointed. So then I thought, I'll just go I came back and there's a little shrine on the corner there with the road to inside Lohavan. A nice Shiva temple. There's a little garden. So I went in that garden and I took out my para and I ate my para and lay down on the bench and took rest. And then I thought I'd go see my old friend, Sitaram. Because there was one fellow, he was doing Kutichak sannyas. First stage of sannyas is Kutichak. You build a village, you build a hut, Kuti, on the edge of the village. And your children come and bring you, food. So he was doing Kutichak sannyas. He was from Lohavan, he's Lohavan Brishpasi, but he was doing, so I went to see him. Because I knew in the evening they'll come. There's an old, ancient, very ancient Gopinath temple. Now they fixed it up very nicely. We still can see old ancient dome and inside so many old carvings are there. I said, surely the devotees will come for taking darshan of Gopinath and I'll go back with them. And so then Sitaram and I, at Arctic time, we went to the Gopinath temple and nobody showed up. I said, that's strange. And after Artik, all the Brishbasis looked at me and said, do you want something to eat, Maharaj? And what I wanted to say was, well, it's Ekadasi. If you could just cook up some potatoes, I'd be happy. But I only got the word Ekadasi out of my mouth and everybody went, oh. And they went, oh, in such a way that I couldn't continue speaking. These Brishbasis, they're simple people. Sometimes they don't necessarily follow Ekadasi. Though they said, oh, then you better stay with Sitaram. He knows how to follow a Ekadasi. So then we went back to his little kutir and he got some Lakshmi. We went into town. But that is the Dev Utana Ekadasi. The next, that day, all the devas wake up. Because beginning of Chaturmas, Dev Shayan Ekadasi, all the devas go to sleep. So Dev Utana Ekadasi, at the end of Kartik, all the devas wake up. So next day, the Brishbasis, they make big, big pots of sweet rice. So we went to the store to buy some milk, but there was no milk because all the Brishbasis kept the milk to make sweet rice for the next day. So there was some weak old burfi there. So Sitaram, he bought 150 grams of weak old burfi. Because it just cooked down milk, there's no grain in it. Then we went back to his little tiny kuti and he offered to his Gopal and 75 grams for me and 75 grams for him. And then I was so angry because by this time I was really hungry. And I said, Krishna, what are you doing? I'm starving like anything. How are you doing this to me? Then I thought, anyway, what is the use of getting angry at Krishna? He has some plan. Krishna always has some plan. Just like Prabhupada told the story of Gopal Bhar and Raja Krishna Chandra. So Gopal Bhar and Raja Krishna Chandra, they went hunting. And somehow or other, one day, Raja Krishna Chandra, he cut off his thumb by accident with his arrow somehow. And Raja Krishna Chandra was very angry and Gopal Bhan said, well, whatever Krishna does is perfect. Well, you rascal, I cut off my thumb and you're telling me this is, that whatever Krishna does is perfect. And he told the guards, throw this guy in jail. So then he continued his hunting expedition. He got lost in the jungle all by himself. And some dacoits were there who were worshipping Kali. So they thought, oh, now we have a nice offering for Kali. They're going to make human sacrifice. People in the mode of ignorance do these types of things. So they grabbed the king, tied him up, they brought him, and as soon as their guru saw him, said, he has no thumb. You brought me this imperfect offering for my Mata, Devi Mata. Throw this guy out. He became very angry, threw him out. So then Raja Krishna Chandra, he knew that whatever Krishna does is perfect. If I would have had a thumb, I would have died. So he immediately went back and he got Gopal out of jail. And he said, Gopal, you were right. Otherwise I would have died. But I don't understand one thing. You said everything Krishna does is perfect. Why you had to go to jail? Because if I would have been with you, I have all my thumbs. They would have sacrificed me. So I thought, anyway, whatever Krishna does is perfect. No use to get angry with him. So, and then he put some burlap sacks on the ground One spot for me, one spot for him, and his scooter was so small, it was probably just, there was a little altar with his gopal, and just the two of us, and he gave me some blankets, and I covered it with some blankets, and because Kartik nights are rather cool. And we slept the whole night. And in the morning, I went to Gopinath Temple. And I was waiting for the devotees to come. And so all of a sudden, I saw the devotees coming, and their faces were rather pale. They looked rather weak and pale. And I saw some, I missed seeing some people. At that time, Brajmala Prickham, well, there was only about 100 of us or so. So, then everybody started coming. They saw me sitting there. They said, "Oh, Dinabandhu, you were the lucky one. You missed it all." Because they realized it was a mistake to make the devotees walk for so far on Ekadasi without any breakfast. So they cooked this big feast. All fried peanuts and fried French fry potatoes and all kinds of things, and they brought some rubbery from the market, which can easily go bad. And they served this huge feast to all the devotees, very late lunch, with no breakfast. Everybody got so sick, oh, you can't imagine, Prabhu. People were running, the place to pass to was, you know, the field across the road. And people were running across the road. Some people, and one person even fainted in the middle of the road. People were vomiting. People were, it was either coming out one end or other end or both simultaneously. Some people we had to take to the hospital. That's why I didn't see some devotee. I was missing some. So, oh, Dinabandhu, you missed it all. You lucked out. And then I realized now from Lohavan up to Bandi Anandi, which is the next stop, which is the breakfast stop, that's a long ways. So, I thought these poor devotees, they walked all day without anything to eat, they ate something, it came out one end or the other or both, and now we have a long walk before we get anything to eat. So there was a village, but it was off the road. And I saw one villager, so I begged for some rotis. Because most of the foreign devotees those days, they didn't know how to do madhukari. So I immediately asked him, the villager, for some rotis. He said, "Just a minute." He ran into the village, and he came back with a big stack of nice hot rotis with homemade ghee on top. And I started putting them in with one little Marathi devotee was there, disciple of Lokanath Maharaj, Om Tat Sat. I started pushing them into his shoulder bag. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "These are for my friends. If you don't worry about your friends, you eat." And he pulled them out, and I tried to push them back. And then he grabbed me, and we took us. There was a little temple nearby, and he sat us down. He put down leaf plates. To Bujari brought some sabji. Somebody else brought some dal. And he was, you know, told that Pujari, "You feed them nicely." And he ran off. So I was sitting there eating all this nice, hot, brishbazi rotis and sabji and dal and think, oh, actually I wanted to serve the devotees, but now I'm getting this feast. What to do? Every time I tried to put a roti in his Om Tat Sat's bag, the pujari would pull it out and break it up and give half to me and half to him. So then we were running down the road. And I saw some villager, and I said, "Did you see some white prickamawalas coming this way?" He said, "Oh yeah, they're in the village ahead." His village name was Tarapur, almost like there's a village also in Bengal named Tarapur. And there was no electricity, there was no pavement, we were just going down a dirt road. There's no dirt road, no electricity in this village. So me and Om Tat Sat, we got there, and big festival was going on. Because that fellow, he said, "You don't worry about your friends. You sit down and eat." He went to the next village and told the villagers, 100 white prickamawalas coming through the forest. You give them some rotis. And we saw all the devotees were sitting there eating rotis. And every 2 seconds, another lady would come with a big stack of rotis. And somebody had a big bucket of chaat. And as soon as you put your lota down, And somebody brought some sabji, and 150 foreign devotees were doing madhukari in the middle of this village. And they had nothing, no road, no electricity, no nothing. But this is a real, what do you say, bhava braja service. They don't have anything, but they're ready, whatever they have, they're ready to share with you. So somehow 150 devotees got madhukari in the middle of this little village. So now I forgot what the, I got a little diverted from the subject. I forgot what the point I was trying to make. Anyway, the real point is that, yeah, we don't know what is Krishna's plan. He always knows best. That was it. If we just follow Krishna and his devotees, then we're safe. So here, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was chastising Arjuna, our Jad Bharat is chastising Maharaj Rahugana. And later we'll come to the most wonderful verse. I think it's in the chapter, the next one, where he asks, how did you receive all this knowledge? And he says, unless you have been bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, you cannot understand Krishna. Very beautiful verses are coming up, giving you a little sneak preview. One of the most favorite verses of this section of Bhagavatam. So to be released from the miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jad Bharat, Lord Krishna, and Kapila Dev. That is the only way to solve the problems of life. Otherwise, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, I was always feeling uncomfortable in this material world. And whatever I did to counteract that unhappiness created more problems. And we see everywhere in the world, we feel this difficulty to travel from one place to another. So now we've invented motor cars. We can travel from one place to another. But now the air is becoming polluted, the world is heating up, we've created problem worse than the beginning problem. If you go to India, you'll see a bullock cart. You'll never see a bullock cart wrapped around a tree. But sometimes you're speeding in your car and they're wrapped around the tree and everybody's finished. Just like India, we have this little car called Maruti. And the Brishvasis, they say, ye aisi gari hai jiske takarane ki baat sabki Maruti hai. This is a type of car that after it crashes, everybody's mother cries. Because it's a tiny little car. you hit anything, it's finished. And everybody's in it, it's finished. So we invented this nice motor car to make our life more enjoyable, and we create more problems, worse problems. So we actually want to get free, then we have to become more simple and follow. Prabhupada was warning us over and over again that you create these farm communities, you grow your own food, you live simply. So somehow or other we have to come to this point. And it's becoming more and more urgent, therefore we see all over the world people are, some devotees who are a little intelligent trying to establish these types of communities, just like we're headed to today, we have to leave you. We're very sorry. We had a very wonderful time here. All I can say is, very wala lepa. We're going to Hungary, and I was there before on New Braja Dam. At least 40, 45 houses there. Nobody has electricity. He has solar panel. Nobody has running water. They have, every house has got a beautiful well in front, you know, with old crank like that. And they have wood fires to heat the water in the morning and heat the house. And so nice, beautiful land, so growing so many crops there. So we have to come to this point very soon. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Should we bother making plans? If Krishna's plan is going to prevail anyway, someone could take it like that. Oh, why make plans?
Because the order of the spiritual masters is to make the plan.
Prabhupada would say, I have my plans, Krishna has his.
Yes.
So make the plan, but be prepared to adjust as Krishna has.
Yeah. Yes.
Could you kindly share how did you get involved in this survey doing leading parikramas to all this? How it came to
I don't know, it just happened. First person who inspired me was my first parikrama guru was Gurudas. In 1974, which was actually the first really organized, they say 1973 was the first Gaur Purnima festival, but was really organized in 1974. We all flew together on one big 747. We were having kirtans at 30,000 feet, you know, dancing up and down the aisles. Uttama Sloka was leading the kirtan. The pilot couldn't figure out what's going on. His weather radar doesn't show any turbulence, but the plane is bouncing. He finally had to tell us to stop. You know, we got to Mayapur and they all took us in buses. And then those were very old days, and there was hardly any facility whatsoever in Mayapur. And they were cooking with this horrible buffalo ghee that our Western stomachs were not ready to deal with. And all the devotees got so sick. Everybody was just completely miserable. So the word got to Vrindavan. So Gurudas and Jamuna, they made so nice arrangements for the devotees. Very simple prasad, not so much spices, not so much oil, you know, very nice, you know. They took care of us just like a mother and a father. And Gurudas took us on parikrama. And the way he explained Krishna's pastime just enchanted my heart. And whatever pastime he spoke, I memorized it. Then later there was our dear God brother who's no longer in this world, Padmalochan Prabhu. He would, every year we would come for parikrama, then one year was Padmalochan took us on parikrama. He wrote this beautiful book, Chintamani Dham, and then there's Madhurya Dham, all about Govardhan parikrama. He was far more learned about Vrindavan than me, but he also was one of my parikrama gurus. And somehow or other, in 1984, Krishna made some arrangement for me to, because I always wanted to stay in Vrindavan. Even that time, even though I was so sick, even in Mayapur, even though I was so sick, I would just look across the fields and see the Yogapit temple and I feel perfectly at home. Even though my body it was terrible. We were sleeping on the roof of the Lotus building. That was the first building, Lotus, right? Yeah, the other one is. So, Conch, that's the fancy one. So, in the cement dust. And there was no generator. When the electricity went out, which is those days it really went out. Then eventually the water tanks on the roof would run out because we were all sick. So everybody was using the bathroom, you know, again and again and again and again. The water ran out. There was no electricity to pump the water up. So we were up on the top floor. We had to go all the way down, go to the hand pump, and your stomach feels like it's going to explode and you have to pump like this. You know, then run all this pail of bucket of water, putting more pressure, you know, run upstairs to the toilet. Even despite all that, I felt completely at home in Mayapur. And I felt even more at home in Vrindavan. But I was temple president, so although I begged my GBC to let me stay, then I could never get permission. Somehow in 1984, Krishna arranged for me to stay. And the next Vrindavan festival came around, so they knew that I had of course now my memory is failing, I'm getting old, but in those days I had a very good memory. So I knew all the pastimes by heart, so they engaged me in taking the devotees on the Vrindavan parikramas. And then from there, it just snowballed into my eternal Dharma. I used to pray under all the desire trees of Braj, just let me do this service forever. Now I pray under the desire trees of Braj, please give me the strength and the health to do this forever. Also, Dhruva Maharaj, he was also very inspiring. He wrote that book, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And even before I was a devotee, people told me, you don't tell stories, you tell movies. So I just dovetail whatever propensity Krishna has given me, I've dovetailed it in. So I'm very fortunate that I always get to serve Vaishnavas, because that is, Krishna says, those who say they're my devotee, I don't know who they are. But who's the devotee of my devotee? He's my devotee. So somehow or other, my whole service is serving Vaishnavas. Therefore, people always, how you manage to stay in Vrindavan for so long? Just by serving Vaishnavas. If you go there with an enjoying mood, then you'll leave. Everybody goes there, build nice houses, because it's cheap, you live cheaply, and beautiful deities are there, everything is nice. But if you don't have any service, especially for Vaishnavas, somehow or other, so many houses are lying empty. No, they come every once in a while. Yes?
This afternoon is the topic of the Holy Name. Could you kindly share your realization of the Holy Name and give us some tips also?
All right. Somehow, since I was a young devotee, people always told me that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only wrote 8 verses, Shikshastakam. But I have very dear Garbhadhar Dasarasa Sutta. He's collected a whole book called The Poetry of Mahaprabhu. And included in Murari Gupta's Kadacha, his notebooks, is one Shivastakam, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered a temple in South India on his South Indian tour. He spontaneously composed a Shivastakam. It's written there in Murari Gupta's Kadacha. And 2 verses I memorized completely. They're my favorite verses. Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva Ityadi Namamrita Panamata Bringadi Padya Akila Dukha Hantre. So he calls Lord Shiva Akila Dukha Hantri. Who takes away all the sorrows of this world. Dukvino means sorrow. Akila Dukha Hantri. Who takes away all the sorrows of this world. How is he able to do that? Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva Ityadi. In Sanskrit, when you say Adi, that means etc. All these names and even more, etc. Ityadi Nama Amrita Panamata. The Lord Shiva, he's always absorbed. Panamata, not just a taking, but panamata. He's completely absorbed in relishing this namamrit from all these names and even more. Ityadi namamrita panamata. How is he absorbed? Bringadipa yaki laduka hunt. Bringadipa. Like the king of the bumblebees. He's relishing that nectar like the king of the bumblebees. Just like in the lotus, there's a special type of nectar called makarand. And the bees go mad for that. They just go there and they stay inside the lotus drinking that makarand. And those who have been on Prakama with me from my stories, you know that end of day, lotus will close. She's a friend of the sun. When moon comes, she closes. So when sun disappears, then that lotus will close. If that bee doesn't leave, he's going to suffocate and die. So many times in the morning, the lotus opens up, you see dead bee is there. So we have to become so absorbed like that in the nectar of the holy name that even death will come before us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just have to become completely absorbed in the nectar of the holy name. Even death will come, we'll just go on chanting. Hare Krishna. Yes.
So Prabhuji, when you will come next time?
I can't say. But desires are to come again and again. So. Yes?
Are you organizing some parikramas, like in Kartik?
Yeah, every year in Kartik we have, those are organized, but all year long I'm doing parikrama. Whoever comes, maybe just one person, maybe full car, maybe a couple of cars, maybe we have to rent a bus. Just like before Kartik, now everybody's realized Kartik's very crowded. So I have one group of people coming from mainland China. There's a group from Hungary. There's a group from Chennai. There's a group from Bangalore. There's a group from Ukraine. All before Kartik. So if I'm in Vrindavan, you just look me up, I'll take you. It doesn't matter if it's one person or 100 persons or 200 persons. But organized with a schedule and everything, that is in Gaurpurnima time, of course, then Kartik time, and then every February. Actually, February is the best time to come to Braj. The weather is just like these last few days. Not too hot, a little chilly in the morning, but pleasant in the day, and there's no crowd, because as soon as you get towards March, then Holi starts, and the whole of Braj goes crazy, then it's, unless you're really into it, you will just hide yourself in your room all day. So we had, and that was when we installed Brindadevi in Brindakun. It was on the Dwadasi before Nityananda Trayadasi. So not many devotees are there at Nityananda Trayadasi time. So for 2 weeks we do Prikama. Somewhere in those end of those 2 weeks, whatever Sunday comes, then we do a big festival. So that's the best time to come. So that's all. That all, you know, is always announced on the internet. That's organized. But otherwise, any time you come, we're ready to go on Prikama. If we're there in Braj, not here in Slovenia. So anyway, we should stop here. We can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's told us that we're all fools and we should follow the orders of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.